Okay, let's unpack this. What if we told you there's a company you've likely never even heard of, yet it's absolutely indispensable to, well, pretty much every single advanced electronic device you use. Your smartphone, cutting-edge AI, you name it. Today, we're doing a deep dive into KLA Corporation. Now, this isn't the company that designs your phone's processor or, you know, manufactures memory chips. Instead, KLA is the essential picks and shovels provider. They're the ones enabling the entire semiconductor industry to function and, importantly, to advance.
That's exactly right. And our mission in this deep dive is really to uncover KLA's unique position, how it truly acts as this powerful sort of toll booth in the digital world. We'll explore its business model, which is pretty powerful, the huge industry trends it's riding, and the financial strength that makes it a quiet powerhouse behind the scenes.
Yeah, a powerhouse most people don't see.
Precisely. By the end, you'll understand why this company is often called a technological toll booth on the road to Moore's Law, and what that profound impact really means for the future of technology itself. You'll see how a company you might never have noticed is just absolutely central to innovation.
And we've got a lot to get through. We'll start by understanding KLA's core tech, getting into why they're known as the eyes and brains of semiconductor fabs. Then we'll look at their competitive moat. It's pretty formidable. And the dynamic industry trends they're navigating, including, you know, the complex geopolitical landscape that's really reshaping the tech world right now.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll crunch the numbers on their impressive financial resilience, explore their potent future growth drivers, and finally assess the significant risks they face.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. So to start our deep dive, you've called KLA indispensable. That's a strong word. What exactly do they do that makes them so crucial to chip making? And why are their operations, sound like you're at an almost microscopic level, so vital?
They absolutely are operating at a microscopic level. You're spot on there. And that's key to their indispensability. KLA's fundamental role is, well, developing and manufacturing industry-leading equipment and services. And these are focused squarely on process control and yield management.
Okay, process control and yield management. What does that mean in plain English?
Basically, it means they help chip manufacturers make sure their chips are being built correctly and efficiently. Minimizing defects is the name of the game. Their position as a critical enabler for really every stage of advanced electronics manufacturing, whether it's making the raw silicon wafers, the photomasks, or reticles, those are the master templates.
Right, the blueprints.
Exactly, blueprints. Or the actual integrated circuits themselves, or even the advanced ways those chips are packaged together later on, they touch it all.
So this is where that technological toll booth analogy comes in, right?
Yeah.
They're not building the cars, the chips themselves, but they're collecting a fee from every single car that wants to get down the road.
That's a great way to put it. They're positioned to collect revenue from essentially every major chip manufacturer out there. Every chip maker, you know, the giants like TSMC, Samsung, Intel, they're all relentlessly striving to produce smaller, faster, more powerful electronic components. And KLA's tools are just non-negotiable for achieving that.
So they make money off that relentless drive for improvement.
Exactly. They derive revenue from this continuous industry-wide push for advancement. And their business model has two main high-margin revenue streams. There's equipment sales, they call it product revenue, and then there's this highly stable, growing base of recurring service revenue.
And the numbers aren't small, are they? Looking at their fiscal year ending June 30, 2025, mm-hmm. we're talking nearly $9.5 billion in product revenues and another, what, $2.7 billion in service revenues. That really underscores the importance of both sides of the business.
It truly does. And what's absolutely critical here is the mission-critical nature of KLA solutions. These aren't optional tools, you know, not things chip manufacturers can just decide to skip to cut costs. They are foundational.
Not nice-to-haves, but must-haves.
Must-haves. KLA's equipment empowers IC manufacturers to speed up their R&D cycles, achieve higher and more stable manufacturing yields.
Yields meaning more good chips per wafer.
Exactly. More usable chips per wafer, fewer duds. And ultimately, that improves their overall profitability. I mean, imagine running a multi-billion dollar factory where every tiny imperfection could cost you millions.
Yeah, the stakes are incredibly high.
And not having the most precise instruments to detect and prevent those flaws. Without KLA solutions, manufacturers would basically be flying blind.
So this goes back to that picks and shovels analogy we used earlier. KLA isn't digging for gold themselves. They're selling the highly specialized tools to all the gold miners. They don't design or fabricate the chips. They supply the essential, non-discretionary tools and services that all the leading chip makers need just to be in the game, regardless of what kind of chip they're making.
That's the core of it. And this business model is incredibly powerful because it diversifies KLA's exposure. They're not betting on the success or failure of any single chip design, you know, or any particular end market like smartphones or PCs or any one device maker.
That's smart. They benefit from the overall trend.
Precisely. What's truly fascinating here is how KLA benefits directly from the overarching, relentless, industry-wide push for technological advancement itself. As long as chips keep getting more complex, more difficult to produce, KLA benefits, regardless of which specific customer or end product ultimately wins out in the market.
All right, so if they're the eyes and brains, what specific tools are we actually talking about? How do they help chip makers achieve these incredible feats of miniaturization and precision that we see in today's electronics? Sounds like magic sometimes.
It does feel like magic, but it's grounded in some serious science. KLA's product and service portfolio is comprehensive, built on a foundation of deep expertise in physics, engineering, data science, the works. Their core business revolves around these process control and yield management systems. These are the tools designed to meticulously identify and measure potential yield-destroying errors during that incredibly complex manufacturing process.
Okay, so let's start with the eyes part. How do they inspect a silicon wafer? That's basically a super smooth disk of silicon that becomes hundreds or thousands of chips, right?
Right. Their wafer inspection systems use incredibly advanced optical, like super-powered cameras and e-beam technologies, electron beams. They literally scan and detect even the tiniest defects on both patterned wafers, the ones that already have complex circuitry etched onto them.
Okay.
And unpatterned bare silicon wafers right at the start. Think of it like a hypersensitive atomic scale security camera for silicon.
Wow.
And this product category is a principal growth driver for KLA for good reason. Just to give you a sense of its importance, in the fourth quarter of fiscal 2025, that's just one quarter wafer inspection revenue surged by an impressive 52% year over year.
52%. That's huge growth.
Huge. It reached $1.77 billion, which made up a remarkable 56% of KLA's total revenue for that period.
Wow. Okay, so more than half their revenue just from wafer inspection in that quarter. And then there's reticle inspection.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned reticles are like the blueprints. Why is inspecting them so vital?
Yeah, photomasks or reticles.
Yeah.
They're the master templates used in lithography to literally print circuits onto the wafers. Imagine taking a photograph. The reticle is like the negative, and the wafer is the photographic paper. Only here, we're talking features thousands of times smaller than a human hair.
Mind-bogglingly small.
Exactly. Now, imagine a tiny dust speck on that photographic negative. When you print it, that speck gets duplicated everywhere, right? For a reticle, even a single microscopic flaw can be replicated across every single chip on an entire wafer. Oh, wow. One tiny error. Multiplied thousands of times.
Leads to what they call catastrophic yield loss. Basically, you ruin the whole batch. So KLA systems are the industry standard for ensuring these master components are absolutely flawless. Their tools are literally finding those invisible specks before they ruin millions, potentially billions of dollars worth of chips.
Okay, so that sounds like a zero tolerance environment for errors. Absolutely critical. And what about metrology? That sounds like the brains part, the precise measurements, the analytical side.
Indeed. Metrology tools perform precise measurements of critical parameters right there on the wafer itself. This includes things like accurately measuring the dimensions of transistor gates. They call that critical dimension, or CD metrology.
Okay, CD metrology.
Making sure the thickness of various deposited films is exactly right. Verifying the perfect alignment of successive layers, that's called overlay metrology. As device features keep shrinking down to the atomic scale, the need for this kind of precise measurement becomes absolutely paramount to maintaining process control.
You just can't guess at that level. You simply cannot build these incredibly tiny, complex 3D structures without knowing exactly what you're doing at every single step. Measurement is everything.
And beyond these core inspection and metrology tools, you mentioned process-enabling solutions. What does that entail? Is it more about how the chips are put together?
Precisely. This category targets high-growth adjacent markets. Its significant focus here is advanced packaging. KLA provides systems for a range of etch and deposition processes involved in advanced packaging. So they're not just looking at the initial chip fabrication on the wafer, but also how those chips are subsequently stacked and connected in increasingly complex ways, think 3D chips, to achieve new performance levels.
Ah, so they're involved in that next stage too. Interesting. And what about the service side of the business? How does that work, and how important is it to KLA's overall financial health? Because that sounds like a very stable revenue stream compared to equipment sales.
It is, and it's a truly significant and increasingly important revenue stream for KLA. It provides a stable, recurring element to their financial profile. Very valuable. In Q4 fiscal 2025, service revenue hit $703 million. That was a healthy 14% year-over-year increase. But what's truly remarkable here is its consistency. This segment has shown 52 consecutive quarters. That's a full 13 years of year-over-year growth.
13 years of growth,
Ego.
Quarter after quarter. That's incredible consistency in an otherwise very cyclical industry. That must provide some real financial stability.
It really does. It creates what's often called a razor and blade dynamic. You sell the razor, the equipment, and then you get ongoing revenue from the blades, the service. Every equipment sale generates this long-term annuity of high-margin service revenue from maintenance, spare parts, software upgrades, support.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Pretty much. And this provides incredibly stable cash flow, which is vital. It allows KLA to continue investing heavily in R&D, even during industry downturns when equipment sales might slow down. That sustained investment helps them extend their technology lead over competitors, positioning them even better when the semiconductor cycle inevitably turns back up.
This sounds incredibly important, but let's revisit this. How critical is it, really, especially as chips get smaller and way more complex? Is it just a nice to have for optimizing production, maybe squeezing out a few extra percent yield? Or is it an absolute must have for the very feasibility of making these chips at all?
It's an absolute must-have. In fact, I'd argue it's becoming exponentially more critical. The economic and technical importance of KLA's equipment escalates dramatically with every new generation of semiconductor technology. When you're talking about pushing from 5mm to 3nm and now even 2mm process nodes, or adopting incredibly complex architectures like FinFETs and gate all around.
Which are basically 3D transistors, right, to pack more in.
Exactly. Ways to build transistors in three dimensions to pack more power into tiny spaces. The manufacturing process becomes exponentially challenging. The cost of a single process error or an undetected defect becomes just astronomical. A single scrapped 300mm wafer, that's the standard size at a leading edge fab, can literally represent millions of dollars in lost potential revenue.
Millions?
Yeah.
From one bad wafer. Wow. So KLA's equipment is essentially preventing those multi-million dollar mistakes. They really are the indispensable eyes and brains of the fabrication plant. Inspection gives the vision, metrology gives the precise measurements. It's almost mind-boggling to think about the financial pressure these fabs are under and how KLA steps in to, well, alleviate some of that risk.
That's the perfect way to put it. And it's not just about detection, finding the flaws. The data generated by these systems is fed into sophisticated software analytics platforms like KLA's own Clarity Suite. These platforms allow the fab engineers to continuously monitor, control, and rapidly correct process variations in real time.
So it's a feedback loop.
A critical feedback loop. Crucially, without this constant stream of high-fidelity data, achieving the high yields necessary for commercially viable mass production of advanced semiconductors, it would be impossible. It simply couldn't happen at these scales, not profitably anyway. And what's also fascinating here is this concept of process control intensity. The need for process control for inspection and metrology grows non-linearly with technological advancement.
Non-linearly, meaning it grows faster than the complexity itself.
Exactly. A more complex chip requires a disproportionately greater number of inspection and metrology steps to manufacture successfully. This provides a powerful secular growth driver for KLA that is partially decoupled from just the simple number of wafers being produced. Demand is driven not just by how many chips are made, but by the increasing difficulty of manufacturing them, and that difficulty trend. It's certain to continue as we keep pushing the limits of physics.
So the demand isn't just about making more chips, but making them harder. That sounds like a pretty powerful tailwind. But how does KLA navigate that within the massive and often volatile world of semiconductor manufacturing? What does that landscape look like structurally, and how does KLA fit into that bigger picture?
Yeah, the global semiconductor manufacturing equipment market, often called wafer fab equipment or WFE, is indeed massive. It's technologically sophisticated, highly capital intensive. To give you a sense of scale, the industry generated approximately $110.9 billion in sales in 2023.
Over $100 billion.
Just for the equipment. Just for the equipment. And looking ahead, various forecasts project a compound annual growth rate, a CAGR, of anywhere from 7% to over 10.6% through the next decade, potentially reaching over $270 billion by 2032. That's tremendous growth on an already huge base.
That's massive growth. Where does KLA sit within that market structure?
It's important to note the market is structurally dominated by what's called front-end equipment. This is the gear used in the actual fabrication of chips on the silicon wafer WEF. Things like wafer processing, lithography, etch, deposition, and, crucially for KLA, process control. This front-end segment consistently accounts for over 80% of total industry spending, and KLA operates exclusively within this critical front-end segment.
Okay, so they're right in the heart of where the money is spent.
Exactly. Geographically, the market is heavily concentrated in the Asia-Pacific region. That commands over 70% of total equipment spending. The top three destinations for equipment investment are consistently China, Taiwan, and South Korea. That just reflects where the world's leading semiconductor foundries and memory manufacturers are located.
Right. Now, we often hear about chip cycles, these notorious boom and bust periods. Can you break down what that actually means? How has it historically played out? And how does it impact a company like KLA? Because even with all this underlying growth, there's still that cyclical element, isn't there?
That's a crucial point. And yes, it's a defining characteristic of the industry. The semiconductor industry is famously cyclical, characterized by distinct periods of boom and bust, really driven by the ebb and flow of supply and demand. Upturns typically happen during periods of strong end market demand, think lots of people buying phones or PCs. This leads to tight chip supply, which then prompts chip makers to expand capacity, build new fabs, and place rising equipment orders. That's the boom.
Okay, and the bust.
But conversely, downturns are caused by inventory buildups. Maybe companies overinvested in capacity, or maybe demand suddenly drops off. This results in falling chip prices and, inevitably, reduced capital spending by manufacturers. They hit the brakes on buying new equipment.
Got it. Have there been classic examples of these cycles?
Oh, yeah. Historically, these cycles were often tied to a single dominant end market. Like, the dot-com boom in the late 1990s fueled a massive cycle driven by personal computers. Later, the rise of the smartphone drove another major cycle throughout the 2010s. And the industry downturn in 2023, which we just went through, that was a classic example, driven heavily by a severe contraction in the memory chip market. Memory sales fell by a staggering 31%.
Wow, 31% drop.
Yeah. Key metrics people watch to monitor the cycle include fab utilization rates, how busy the factories are, and memory chip pricing trends, which are often leading indicators.
You mentioned something earlier. Is the nature of this cycle changing?
That's what a lot of people think. Yeah. The industry now appears to be undergoing a sort of structural shift, moving from being purely cyclical to what some call cyclical secular. While inventory and demand cycles will undoubtedly persist, that's just market dynamics, they are now overlaid on this powerful long-term secular growth trend, fueled by the pervasive digitization of the global economy. Everything is getting smarter, needing chips.
So the underlying demand floor is higher and rising.
Exactly. The diversification of demand drivers across multiple, largely uncorrelated end markets, think AI, automotive, IoT, industrial, should, in principle, dampen the amplitude of future cycles. This suggests that future downturns might be shallower and upturns more sustained than in past eras that were really dependent on just one big thing, like PCs or smartphones. The consistent growth in semiconductor demand over the last couple of decades really supports this view of a strong underlying secular trend pulling things upwards over time.
Okay, so beyond the cycles, what are the really big long-term trends, the secular drivers? What's fueling that sustained demand for semiconductors and consequently for KLA's equipment? Where's the big future growth coming from?
There are several powerful long-term secular trends at play that act as major tailwinds for KLA. Artificial intelligence and high-performance computing, AI, and HPC. This is arguably the most significant driver today.
Yeah, AI is everywhere now.
It really is. The immense computational power required to train these large language models like ChatGPT and run AI inference workloads. It's spurring massive investment in data centers. And this demand is specifically for the most advanced chips manufactured at the leading edge, often assembled using complex techniques like high bandwidth memory, HBM, stacking.
Stacking chips on top of each other for more power.
Essentially, yes. And these processes are exceptionally intensive in terms of inspection and metrology. Every step needs checking. So this creates a direct and powerful tailwind for KLA. More complex chips need more KLA.
So AI doesn't just need chips. It needs chips made with extreme precision, which is KLA's absolute sweet spot. What other trends are impactful?
Automotive is another huge one. The dual transitions toward electric vehicles, EVs, and autonomous driving. They're fundamentally transforming the car industry into a major semiconductor consumer. Modern vehicles now contain literally hundreds of chips controlling everything from battery management and infotainment systems to advanced driver assistance systems, ADS.
Cars are basically becoming computers on wheels.
That's a perfect description, and this trend is creating one of the fastest-growing end markets for the semiconductor industry. Then there's the Internet of Things, or IoT, and 5G. The massive rollout of 5G wireless infrastructure and the proliferation of billions of connected IoT devices, everything from smart home gadgets to industrial sensors, are driving demand for a vast and diverse range of semiconductors, spanning both leading-edge stuff and older, more mature nodes, too.
Okay, we've covered the tech, the market dynamics, the big trends, but there's this massive, unavoidable layer of geopolitics shaping everything right now. Here's where it gets really interesting, I think. How does that dynamic, especially with things like the USCHPS Act and the restrictions placed on China, ripple through a company like KLA and the broader semiconductor equipment industry?
You're right. Geopolitical considerations have absolutely become a primary factor, and they present both significant opportunities and, frankly, acute risks. Let's start with the CHES and Science Act in the U.S., enacted in 2022. This legislation allocates roughly $52.7 billion in government subsidies, grants, investment tax credits, the whole package.
Huge amount of money.
Huge. Its goal is to incentivize domestic semiconductor manufacturing, R&D, and workforce development right here in the U.S. This act is a direct response to the decline of U.S. manufacturing share globally. It fell from around 37% back in 1990 to only about 12% today.
Trying to bring some of that production back home.
Exactly. It's expected to trigger a wave of new fab construction in the U.S. Projections suggest it could help triple the country's domestic manufacturing capacity by 2032. For equipment suppliers like KLA, this represents a direct and significant tailwind. More fabs being built means more equipment orders.
So government intervention is literally creating new demand for KLA's tools in the U.S. But on the flip side, what about the China restrictions? That sounds like a major headwind, potentially offsetting some of that gain.
That's the other side of the coin, absolutely. And it represents a major headwind and a significant business risk for KLA. The U.S. Department of Commerce, specifically its Bureau of Industry and Security, or BIS, has implemented pretty stringent export controls. These restrict the sale of the most advanced semiconductor manufacturing equipment and technology to certain entities in China.
Aiming to slow down China's progress at the leading edge.
That's the stated goal. For KLA, these restrictions are particularly impactful because, as we'll discuss more later, China has actually become its single largest geographic market. It accounted for a substantial 30% of their total revenue in Q4 fiscal 2025.
30%? Wow, that's a massive exposure to one country, especially one subject to these kinds of restrictions.
It is, and any further tightening of these regulations could have a sudden and material adverse impact on KLA's business. It's a major point of focus.
And how does this all play into the broader trend of supply chain reshoring and diversification we're seeing globally? It seems like every major economy wants its own chip production capability now.
You're seeing that everywhere. The U.S.-China tech competition has definitely spurred a global movement towards supply chain resilience and what they call technological sovereignty. We're seeing this beyond the U.S. The EU has its EU Chips Act. Japan has initiatives. India does too.
A global race for chip independence.
Sort of. While this global push for localized supply chains might be economically inefficient from a pure free market perspective, you know, duplicating efforts in fabs.
Right. Building redundant capacity.
It is creating what many call a CapEx supercycle, a period of intense investment in new fab construction around the world. And that is a major positive for equipment suppliers like KLA. This dynamic creates a somewhat bifurcated market, as you suggested. One segment, the U.S., Europe, allied Asian countries, experiences subsidy-fueled growth, while another segment, primarily China, faces these politically driven restrictions. KLA has to skillfully navigate both of these complex realities simultaneously. It's a tightrope walk.
Definitely sounds like it. Okay, moving to the competitive landscape.
Yeah.
In such a critical and advanced market, who are KLA's main rivals? And how do they actually stack up against each other? Is it a cutthroat competition where they're all fighting for the same deals, or is it structured differently? Because KLA sounds pretty unique.
That's an excellent question, and it's essential to understand the unique structure of this market. The WFE industry is highly consolidated, dominated by a small number of very large companies. KLA's primary peer group includes Applied Materials, often called AMAT, Lam Research, LRCX, the Dutch giant ASML Holding, and Tokyo Electron TL from Japan. That's kind of the big five.
Okay, the big five. Are they all doing the same thing?
No, and this is the crucial part. These companies operate largely in distinct complementary segments of the manufacturing process. There's actually quite limited direct product overlap between them.
Ah, okay. So they're not necessarily competing head-to-head for the same exact slice of the pie, but rather providing different essential pieces that all fit together in the fab.
Precisely. Think of it like building a house. You need different specialists. ASML, for instance, holds a functional monopoly in critical lithography, especially in the most advanced extreme ultraviolet or EUV lithography systems. They make the machines that print the finest patterns.
The printers. Got it.
Applied Materials and Lam Research are the dominant leaders in deposition and etch segments, respectively. They handle the precise layering and removal of materials on the wafer.
Adding layers and carving patterns.
Okay. And KLA Corporation. It is the dominant leader in the process control segment that consists of inspection and metrology. Essentially, KLA's tools are used to verify and measure the work done by the tools from ASML, AMAT, and Lam Research.
So they're the quality control inspectors for the whole process.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. This structure means KLA's competitive position is more akin to a monopoly within a critical niche rather than being a direct competitor in a broad market. Chipmakers need the best-in-class tools for every single step. They can't really substitute a superior etch tool for an inferior inspection tool or vice versa. This structural reality makes KLA a necessary partner to the other equipment giants and their customers, solidifying its pricing power and market position. They need KLA.
Okay, so they're in this unique spot, verifying the work of others. But how dominant are they, numerically speaking? Can we quantify this monopoly within a critical niche? What do the market share numbers look like?
We absolutely can. And the quantitative evidence of KLA's, frankly, overwhelming market leadership in process control is quite clear. According to a 2022 Gartner market share analysis, Gartner is a major tech research firm. The overall process control segment of the WFE market was valued at about $13.5 billion. Within that specific segment, KLA's market share stood at over 57%.
57%. That's huge.
It is. This level of dominance means KLA is more than four times larger than its nearest competitor in its core market. And if you drill down into the more specific metrology and inspection, or M&I subsegment, KLA's market share is reported to be over 50% there as well.
So they basically own their specific critical piece of the market.
And
now, I've seen some figures that say KLA's share of the total WFE market, the whole $110 billion pie, is much smaller, maybe around 7% in 2023. Is that figure misleading then? Because it sounds like they're much more powerful than just 7% implies.
That figure is indeed misleading, and it's crucial to clarify why. While KLA's share of the total WFE market was around 7% in 2023, that number really dilutes its strength. It averages their share across segments where they don't compete at all, like lithography or the bulk of etch and deposition. The segment-specific market share, that 50-57% in process control, is the much more relevant indicator of their competitive strength and pricing power. It's like judging Apple by its share of the entire global consumer electronics market, including cheap TVs and radios, instead of focusing on its dominant share in high-end smartphones and tablets where it actually competes.
That makes sense. Focus on where they actually play. So what are the deep roots that protect this incredible dominance? What's their moat, as investors like to call it? What keeps competitors from catching up or even really challenging them effectively in this space?
Yeah, KLA's market dominance is protected by a wide and deep competitive moat built on several key pillars. First, and probably foremost, is their technology leadership and R&D scale. The immense technical challenges of inspecting and measuring features literally at the atomic scale. It requires truly bleeding-edge science and engineering.
Stuff most companies can't even dream of doing.
Exactly. KLA consistently invests a significant portion of its revenue back into R&D. We're talking $1.32 billion in calendar year 2024 alone. This sustained high level of investment creates a formidable barrier to entry. A new competitor would need to somehow replicate decades of cumulative, specialized knowledge in optics, sensors, electron beams, AI-driven algorithms. It's incredibly difficult. It's not just about spending money. It's about deep, embedded expertise that few, if any, can match.
Okay, so technology leadership is number one. What else?
Secondly, there's customer integration and high switching costs. This is huge. KLA's systems are not standalone machines you can just unplug and replace easily. They are deeply integrated into the R&D flows and, critically, the high-volume manufacturing flows of its customers.
Baked right into the factory's operations.
Deeply baked in. The vast amounts of data generated by KLA tools are used to tune and control the entire production line for a chipmaker. It's central to their process recipe. So for a customer to switch to a competitor's inspection or metrology platform, they would need to requalify hundreds, maybe thousands of complex process steps. That's a prohibitively expensive, time-consuming, and incredibly risky undertaking. It could halt production for months, cost millions or billions. Nobody wants to do that if they don't absolutely have to.
That's a powerful lock-in.
Oh.
Okay, what's the third pillar?
And finally, a key part of their moat, especially going forward, is their data and analytics ecosystem. KLA has proprietary software platforms, like its Clarity Suite, that aggregate and analyze data from its massive installed base of tools across the entire industry. Thousands and thousands of machines. This creates a powerful network effect.
How does that work? More data makes them better.
Exactly. More data leads to more refined algorithms and better analytics, which makes the tools even more valuable to customers, helping them find problems faster or predict issues. That, in turn, attracts more customers, who then generate even more data for KLA to learn from. This virtuous cycle is extremely difficult for a competitor to replicate because they don't have that installed base or that historical data set. It further strengthens KLA's leadership.
Technology, switching costs, and data. That sounds like a very solid moat. Let's turn to the numbers now. How has this unique position and strong moat translated into actual financial performance over the past decade? Are we talking about consistent growth, stellar profits, or is it a bit more volatile given the industry's famous cycles?
Well, an examination of KLA's financial performance over the past decade really reveals a company with a powerful growth trajectory, exceptional profitability, and remarkable resilience, even through those industry cycles. Let's talk revenue growth first. KLA has demonstrated an impressive ability to scale. Annual revenue has grown from about $2.8 billion back in fiscal year 2015 to over $12.1 billion in fiscal year 2025.
Wow, that's more than quadrupled in 10 years.
Yeah, it represents a compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, of approximately 15.8% over that 10-year period. That's very strong, consistent growth. They even had a streak of 8 consecutive years of revenue growth through fiscal 2023, which is quite something in this industry.
Okay, impressive top line. What about profitability? Does that scale too?
Oh, absolutely. KLA's financial model is characterized by industry-leading profitability. Gross margins have been consistently robust, typically residing in the low 60% range, which is very high for hardware-related businesses.
60% plus gross margin is excellent.
It is. And operating margins are equally impressive, frequently exceeding 40% in recent years. That's a real testament to the company's pricing power, thanks to that moat and its operational efficiency. And this has translated into substantial net income growth, naturally, from around $366 million in FY2015 to over $4 billion in FY2025.
$4 billion in net income.
Okay.
And does that translate into cash?
Prolific cash flow generation. The company is a formidable cash flow machine. Free cash flow, or FCF, that's the cash left over after investments, has grown from about $760 million in FY2016 to a record $3.75 billion in FY2025.
Almost $4 billion in free cash.
Right. And the company's free cash flow margin, FCF, as a percentage of revenue is exceptionally strong, consistently registering above 30% in recent years. That places it in the absolute top tier of S&P 500 companies, not just tech companies.
So extremely profitable and generates a ton of cash. How does the cyclicality show up in these numbers, though?
The financial data clearly illustrates both the cyclicality and KLA's increasing resilience. You see the cycles, for instance, revenue jumped 33% in the FY2022 upcycle, but then it declined about 6.5% in the FY2024 downturn. So the cycles are still there. But the consistent multi-decade growth of that high-margin service business provides an increasing financial ballast. Even when equipment sales dip, the service revenue keeps growing, putting a floor under total revenue and profitability. It makes their overall financial performance less volatile than it used to be.
That service business really acts as a stabilizer. Okay, beyond just the raw profits and cash flow, how efficiently do they use the capital they've invested in the business? Are they getting a good return on their investments? Good returns on capital?
That's a critical question for assessing business quality. And KLA's returns on capital are, frankly, exceptionally high. It reflects both the strength of its competitive moat and its relatively capital-light business model compared to the immense profitability it generates. They don't need huge factories themselves, remember.
Right. They sell the tools. They don't build the fabs.
Exactly. Recent financial data indicates a normalized return on invested capital, or ROIC, in the range of 39% to 42%. That's extremely high.
39 to 42% ROIC. That's fantastic.
It is. And return on equity, or ROE, is even more striking, with normalized figures often exceeding 100%. Now, ROE can be influenced by debt, but still, these figures are significantly higher than those of most peers in the WFE industry. It really underscores the superior economic characteristics of KLA's business model. They generate fantastic returns on the money invested in the business.
So, incredibly efficient with capital. What about their balance sheet strength and how they manage debt? Do they have enough financial flexibility to navigate future challenges or opportunities?
KLA maintains a strong and flexible balance sheet. As of the end of fiscal 2025, that's June 30th, 2025, the company reported total cash, cash equivalents, and marketable securities of about $4.5 billion.
Okay, decent cash pile.
Decent cash pile against total debt of $5.9 billion. So slightly more debt than cash, but very manageable. The company holds investment-grade credit ratings from all the major rating agencies, which ensures they have access to capital markets on favorable terms if they need it. Overall, the balance sheet appears prudently managed. It provides the financial stability required to navigate industry cycles, fund those substantial R&D investments, and execute its capital return program, which we'll get to.
Okay, good. Let's zoom in just a bit more on KLA's most recent performance, maybe the last few years, fiscal 22 through 25. Where are they seeing the strongest growth within their business segments? And can we get a bit more specific on where exactly their customers are located around the globe? You mentioned China was big.
Yeah, a closer look at recent performance really highlights some key operational trends and reinforces what we've discussed. Segment-wise, their core semiconductor process control segment remains the primary engine. It consistently accounts for approximately 90% of total revenue, so that's still the heart of the business.
Okay, 90%.
Within this, the services business, as we noted, has been a real standout, delivering that consistent double-digit growth and providing that resilient, recurring revenue stream. It's becoming a bigger piece of that 90%. Advanced packaging is also clearly emerging as a potent growth driver. Management is projecting related systems revenue to exceed $925 million in calendar year 2025.
Almost $1 billion just from advanced packaging tools.
Exactly. And that's a substantial increase from over $500 million in 2024. So rapid growth there, showing how KLA is capturing growth in the evolving ways chips are put together.
Okay, that makes sense. And geographically, you mentioned the big Asian hubs.
Geographically, KLA's revenue base is diversified, but yes, it's heavily weighted toward the key semiconductor manufacturing hubs in Asia. For the fourth quarter of fiscal 2025, the revenue breakdown was quite telling and confirms the point about China. China accounted for 30%, Taiwan was next at 27%, Korea at 15%, Japan at 12%, then North America was 9%, and Europe was 4%.
So China and Taiwan together are well over half their business, 57%.
Exactly. The significant and growing revenue concentration in China is absolutely a key factor to monitor. It represents both a major growth driver and a material geopolitical risk, as we discussed. Looking across the past decade, the overall financial summary just consistently shows that strong revenue growth, robust margins, and excellent free cash flow generation, even with those inevitable cyclical dips along the way.
Okay, we've talked about the drivers like AI and automotive, but looking forward, what are KLA's specific strategic initiatives? Where are they focusing their efforts to capitalize on future growth, especially around these major technology shifts happening in the industry, like EUV and advanced packaging?
Yeah, KLA's growth strategy is fundamentally intertwined with enabling its customers to navigate the semiconductor industry's most difficult technology transitions. That's their core value proposition. As you said, the company isn't just selling machines. It's selling solutions to the physics-based barriers that threaten to slow down or even halt Moore's Law.
They're selling the solution to the next roadblock.
Precisely. One major catalyst, as you mentioned, is the industry-wide shift to extreme ultraviolet, or EUV, lithography. This is for patterning the absolute smallest features on the most advanced chips. EUV processes introduce novel challenges. They have a higher propensity for stochastic defects, meaning random, unpredictable errors that are hard to find.
Random defects sound like a nightmare for quality control.
They are. Think of it like trying to paint a masterpiece with a microscopic brush that occasionally splatters randomly. Every tiny random smudge becomes critical. This, combined with extreme sensitivity to any imperfections on the EUV masks, means KLA's tools are even more essential for catching these elusive errors. It drives demand for new, more advanced generations of their inspection and metrology tools, creating a significant technology-driven upgrade cycle for KLA's product portfolio.
So as the lithography technology gets harder with EUV, KLA's job gets more critical, almost by definition, driving more sales.
Exactly. The process control intensity goes up significantly. Another major growth vector for KLA is advanced packaging. As the benefits of traditional 2D scaling, just making transistors smaller on a flat surface, diminish, chipmakers are increasingly turning to advanced packaging techniques. Things like 2.5D 3D stacking, using chiplets, basically building chips more like Lego blocks.
To keep improving performance and power efficiency.
Right. This strategic shift represents a significant new growth area for KLA. The company offers a broad portfolio of solutions specifically designed for the unique inspection, metrology, and even some processing requirements of this packaging segment. We saw the numbers. KLA's revenue from advanced packaging is expanding rapidly, projected to exceed $925 million in calendar 2025. Up from over $500 million in 2024.
So they're positioned well for that shift too.
Very well. And this push into advanced packaging strategically blurs the lines between traditional front-end wafer fab processes and back-end assembly processes. It positions KLA to capture value across a larger portion of the overall electronics manufacturing flow.
Interesting. What about that service business? Is growing that still a major strategic focus?
Absolutely. The expansion of the high-margin recurring revenue services business is a core pillar of KLA's long-term strategy. Can't emphasize that enough. With that massive and continuously growing installed base, tens of thousands of tools worldwide, the opportunity for service revenue just keeps expanding. Management has set an ambitious long-term revenue growth target of a 12-14% CAGR just for the services business.
12-14% growth just for services. That's strong.
Very strong. With a goal of reaching a $3 billion annual revenue run rate by fiscal year 2026, this consistent growth provides that powerful stabilizing force to the company's overall financial performance, really mitigating the inherent cyclicality of the equipment market. It makes the whole company more predictable.
Does KLA grow only organically? By making better tools and selling more services? Or are acquisitions part of their strategy too? Are they looking to buy their way into new markets or technologies?
They do employ what seems like a disciplined M&A strategy. It appears focused on pursuing sustained, profitable growth by expanding into adjacent markets where their core expertise can be leveraged. The most significant recent example, the one that really stands out, was the 2019 acquisition of Orbotech.
Orbotech?
Right.
What did that bring to KLA?
That transaction was truly transformative. It diversified KLA's revenue base significantly beyond its core semiconductor process control market. It brought them into the printed circuit board PCB market, the flat panel display FPD market, think TVs and phone screens and other specialty semiconductor markets. The acquisition added an estimated $2.5 billion to KLA's total addressable market, or TAM. And it significantly strengthened its position across the broader electronics value chain, moving them beyond just silicon wafers into these other critical electronic components.
Okay, so strategic M&A is definitely part of the playbook too. Now, we talked about the incredible cash flow KLA generates. How do they actually manage that? What are their financial priorities when it comes to balancing reinvestment back into the business versus returning money to shareholders?
KLA's capital allocation strategy seems very clear, disciplined, and highly shareholder-friendly based on their actions. The company's stated philosophy is straightforward. First, fund their strategic priorities. That means primarily high levels of investment in R&D to maintain that technology leadership we discussed. That comes first.
Feed the golden goose.
Exactly. Keep the innovation engine running. After those internal growth needs are met, the company is committed to returning a significant portion of its remaining free cash flow to shareholders. Management has a stated long-term target of returning at least 85% of free cash flow to stockholders.
85%. That's a very high target payout ratio.
It is, and their execution is consistent with that target. In fiscal 2024, for example, the company returned approximately 83% of its free cash flow. This high payout ratio signals a mature and confident management team. They're clearly focused on total shareholder return, recognizing that their core business generates more cash than they can efficiently reinvest just in R&D alone.
How do they return that cash? Mostly dividends or buybacks?
Both. A consistently growing dividend is definitely a cornerstone of KLA's capital return program. The company has an exceptional track record here. 15 consecutive annual dividend increases as of September 2024.
15 years straight of dividend hikes. That's impressive consistency.
It is. Since the dividend was initiated way back in 2006, it has grown at a compound annual growth rate of approximately 15%. That's strong growth. The most recent increase, announced with their Q4 FY 2025 earnings, was 12%, bringing the quarterly payout to $1.90 per share. And the ability to consistently grow that dividend even through multiple semiconductor industry downturns really speaks volumes about the underlying resilience and predictability of the business model, especially the stabilizing influence of that high-margin services business.
Right, that service revenue helps ensure the dividend is sustainable. What about share repurchases?
Share repurchases are the other major lever KLA uses to return capital to shareholders. They're quite active here too. KLA frequently authorizes and executes multi-billion dollar buyback programs. These serve to reduce the outstanding share count and, importantly, increase earnings per share over time. In conjunction with its Q4 FY 2025 results, for instance, the company announced a new $5 billion share repurchase authorization. That's a significant amount.
$5 billion more for buybacks.
Yeah. Over the 12 months of fiscal 2025, KLA returned a total of $3.05 billion to shareholders. That was through a combination of $2.15 billion in share buybacks and about $905 million in dividends. So it's a very active and robust capital return program, really underscoring their commitment to shareholder value.
Okay, sounds like a very shareholder-focused approach once R&D is funded. Let's talk about the people. Who's at the helm here, guiding this highly technical and financially robust company? How stable and experienced is the leadership team, especially in such a fast-moving, critical industry?
That's a great question, because leadership matters a lot in tech. KLA seems to benefit from an exceptionally stable and experienced senior leadership team. This is a significant qualitative advantage in an industry often marked by rapid change and executive turnover. Richard P. Wallace, the president and CEO, is really a key intangible asset for the company.
Wallace. Okay, how long has he been there?
His tenure is remarkable. He has served as CEO since January 2006, and he's been with KLA since 1988.
Wow, CEO since 06 with the company since 88. That's incredible longevity.
It really is. His nearly two decades at the helm and over 3.5 decades with the company provide an unparalleled level of strategic continuity, deep industry knowledge, and long-standing customer relationships. You can't just replicate that. He is widely credited with successfully guiding KLA through multiple major technology inflections like the move to copper, FinFETs, now EUV, and industry cycles, all while expanding its dominant market position. And Brendy Higgins, the executive VP and CFO, oversees the company's financial strategy and operations. He's also been crucial in maintaining KLA's financial stability and contributing to its strong execution against its financial model.
So deep experience and stability at the top. How's their track record on strategy and execution?
The management team has consistently demonstrated, I think, a clear strategic vision and a strong track record of execution. You can see it in the results. They have successfully defended and grown the company's dominant share in the process control market. They astutely expanded into adjacent markets through that Orbotech acquisition we discussed. And they methodically built the services business into that multi-billion dollar high margin recurring revenue stream. That took focus and discipline over many years.
Delivering on the plan.
The company has established a clear long-term financial model, targeting that 9-11% revenue growth through calendar 2026. And importantly, that target assumes continued outperformance relative to the broader WFE market's projected 6-7% growth. They expect to keep taking share. This isn't just wishful thinking. It's a plan based on their past success in leveraging technology transitions to gain ground.
Okay. What about corporate governance and alignment with shareholders? Does everything look okay there?
From the outside, KLA's corporate governance practices and shareholder alignment appear robust. That capital allocation policy, with its high target for returning free cash flow, strongly aligns the interests of management with those of shareholders. Their incentives seem aligned. The board of directors maintains standard oversight functions. They have an audit committee responsible for risk management, including key areas like cybersecurity, which is crucial these days. Furthermore, the company has implemented a formal clawback policy. This allows for the recovery of erroneously awarded executive compensation in the event of a financial restatement. It's a measure that enhances accountability.
Good governance practices in place. Okay, now for the flip side. No company, no matter how strong, is without risk. What are the biggest challenges and potential headwinds KLA faces that investors should be mindful of?
That's a critical consideration for any deep dive, absolutely. The most fundamental risk facing KLA, arguably, is still the inherent cyclicality of the semiconductor industry. As a capital equipment provider, KLA's financial results are directly tied to the capital spending budgets of its customers. During an industry downturn, customers can and do quickly delay or cancel equipment orders. That would have a direct and material negative impact on KLA's revenue and profitability despite the services buffer.
The cycle still matters,
Yeah.
Even if it's maybe less volatile now.
It still matters. However, the geopolitical and trade policy risks, particularly related to China exposure, probably represent the most significant and acute risk for KLA right now. As we established, China has grown to become the company's single largest geographic market, hitting 30% of total revenue recently.
30%? That number really stands out.
It does. This high level of exposure makes the company particularly vulnerable to the evolving and sometimes unpredictable U.S.-China geopolitical landscape. U.S. government export controls, administered by BIS, already restrict the sale of the most advanced equipment to certain Chinese customers. Any further tightening of these regulations or changes in how they're enforced could have a sudden and material adverse impact on KLA's business. It creates a significant overhang on the company's growth prospects and valuation.
Okay, so cyclicality and China exposure are top risks. What else?
Another risk factor to consider is customer concentration. The semiconductor manufacturing industry itself is highly concentrated. A small number of very large companies, namely TSMC, Samsung, and Intel, account for the vast majority of leading-edge capital spending.
KLA relies heavily on just a few huge customers.
They do. KLA is therefore reliant on a concentrated customer base. The loss of, or even just a significant reduction in orders from, any one of these key customers would materially harm KLA's financial results. BUT, and this is a big but we touched on earlier, this risk is substantially mitigated by the indispensability of KLA's products.
A symbiotic relationship.
Exactly. The leading-edge customers that KLA is dependent on are, in turn, equally dependent on KLA's mission-critical technology to run their most advanced fabs. This creates a symbiotic, mutually dependent relationship that is far more resilient than a typical supplier-customer dynamic. They need each other to succeed at the cutting edge.
Makes sense. Are there technology or competitive risks? Could someone disrupt them?
While KLA enjoys a dominant market position, it's not entirely immune to technology disruption and competitive threats. Never say never in tech. The company operates in an incredibly technologically dynamic industry. It faces competition from established players, maybe trying to nibble at the edges, and potentially from new entrants, though the barriers are high. A competitor developing a truly disruptive new inspection or metrology technology, maybe something faster, cheaper, more accurate, could theoretically threaten KLA's market share. To mitigate this risk, the company absolutely must continue to invest heavily and successfully in R&D to stay ahead. That R&D spending is their defense.
And finally, any operational risks, supply chain stuff.
Yes. Like any complex manufacturing operation, KLA is vulnerable to disruptions in its global supply chain. The company relies on a network of suppliers for critical components and materials, complex lenses, sensors, lasers, electronics. And in some cases, it relies on single or limited sources for certain key parts, which is common for specialized equipment. Any disruption to the supply chain, whether from natural disasters, geopolitical events, pandemics, or supplier-specific issues, could potentially lead to production interruptions, shipment delays, and increased costs. It's a constant operational challenge.
Okay, a good overview of the risks. Cyclicality, China, customer concentration, tech threats, and supply chain. So, given all these factors, the dominance, the growth, the profitability, but also the risks, how does the market currently value KLA? And how has that valuation changed over time? Are investors giving it a premium for its unique position, or are they more focused on the risks?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? KLA's valuation multiples definitely reflect the market's high regard for its business quality, its moat, its profitability, but they also reflect its sensitivity to the semiconductor industry cycle and those geopolitical risks. As of late 2025, the stock trades at a trailing price to earnings, or PE ratio, somewhere in the range of 30x to 33x.
Okay, 30 to 33 times earnings. How does that compare historically?
Historically, these multiples have shown significant fluctuation, really moving with the cycle. The PE ratio, for instance, has ranged from a cyclical trough of just under 10x back in late 2018.
Wow, below 10.
To a peak of over 40x in mid-2024. So a huge range. The current PE ratio in that low 30s range is substantially above its 10-year historical average, which is closer to 21.
So trading well above its average valuation right now.
Correct. It suggests that the market is currently pricing in a period of sustained, strong growth and perhaps gives them full credit for their quality. But this high valuation also indicates that the stock is likely highly sensitive to perceptions of where the industry is in its cycle and to any negative news. There's less room for error priced in.
How does KLA's valuation compare to its major competitors in the semiconductor equipment space? Mm-hmm. You mentioned AMAT, Lam Research. Mm-hmm. Are they all valued similarly?
Compared to its large-cap WFE peers like Applied Materials and Lam Research, KLA typically trades at a premium valuation.
Okay, so the market does value it higher. Why?
This premium is generally seen as a direct reflection of its superior business quality, those higher margins, the moat. Its quasi-monopolistic market position and process control, its consistently higher profitability, and its more resilient business model due to that large growing service revenue stream. On a PE basis, KLA's multiple is generally higher than AMAT's or Lam's, and that premium is often even more pronounced on a price-to-sales basis, which is justified by KLA's significantly higher profitability and those stellar returns on capital we discussed.
So the premium seems justified by the fundamentals.
Well, the key investment question isn't really whether a premium is warranted. Most analysts would agree some premium is deserved. The debate is whether the current level of premium is justified or perhaps excessive, given future growth expectations and the inherent risks. That's where opinions differ. Given KLA's strong and relatively predictable free cash flow generation, a discounted cash flow, or DCF, analysis is a very appropriate method for trying to assess its intrinsic value.
Trying to figure out what it should be worth based on future cash flows.
Yeah, exactly. Key assumptions you'd need for such a model would include a forecast period growth rate. You'd likely assume it exceeds the broader WFE industry's projected 6-7% CAGR, reflecting KLA's potential for market share gains and those secular tailwinds from process control intensity. You'd also need to assume sustained high gross and operating margins, reflecting the company's durable competitive advantages. And, of course, you need a discount rate, a weighted average cost of capital, or WACC. One third-party calculation I saw places KLA's WACC at approximately 9.33%, but that can vary.
And what do these DCF models typically suggest?
It's important to note that DCF models are highly sensitive to these assumptions, especially the growth rate and the discount rate. Small changes can lead to big differences in the calculated value. One publicly available model I looked at, for example, suggested a fair value significantly below the current market price, implying the stock might be overvalued at present. But someone else, using slightly more optimistic assumptions, could easily reach a different conclusion. It highlights the importance of doing your own work and understanding the sensitivity.
Right. Valuation is as much art as science sometimes. What specific factors could make KLA's valuation multiple go up, expand, or go down contract in the future? What should listeners watch for?
Okay. Potential drivers of multiple expansion, meaning the market valuing each dollar of earnings more highly, could include continued clear evidence of KLA outperforming the broader WFE market, proving its superior model. An increasing revenue contribution from that high-margin recurring services business, making earnings seem even more stable. Faster than expected growth in the advanced packaging segment, validating that growth vector. And maybe a broader market perception that the semiconductor industry's cyclicality is structurally diminishing, leading investors to assign higher multiples across the board.
Okay, and what could drive the multiple down?
Potential drivers of multiple contraction would be the flip side, mostly. The clear onset of a severe industry downturn, reminding investors of the cyclical risk. A significant negative escalation of U.S.-China trade restrictions that materially impacts KLA's revenue or outlook. That's the big one. Any signs, however unlikely they seem now, of market share erosion to competitors in their core process control market? Or just a general derating of the entire semiconductor sector from what many perceive as potentially peak cycle valuation multiples currently, the whole group could come down.
Okay, that gives us a good sense of the valuation dynamic. So let's start to wrap this up. If you were to build the strongest argument for KLA as an investment, what are the core pillars of that bull case? What's the best summary of why this company is so compelling?
The investment thesis for KLA, the bull case, is really predicated on that powerful combination of market dominance, strong secular growth drivers, and a superior financial model. Pillar one, unassailable market position. KLA operates as a quasi-monopoly in the mission-critical, non-discretionary field of process control. Its market share of over 50% provides that wide competitive moat, significant pricing power, and very high barriers to entry. It's hard to compete with them. Pillar two, alignment with secular growth. The company is a primary beneficiary of the most powerful and durable trends in technology, AI, advanced packaging, the push to smaller nodes. The increasing complexity of semiconductor manufacturing structurally increases the demand for KLA's products and services. The harder chips get to make, the better KLA does.
They thrive on complexity.
They do. Pillar three, exceptional financial profile. KLA consistently delivers industry-leading profitability, gross margins over 60%, operating margins over 40%. It's a prolific generator of free cash flow, and it uses that cash flow smartly, funding innovation while also returning substantial capital to shareholders through consistently growing dividends and large share buybacks. And pillar four, increasing business resilience. That large and rapidly growing services business, with its recurring revenue nature, provides a significant buffer against the inherent cyclicality of the equipment market. It makes the company's overall financial performance more stable and predictable over time than it used to be.
Okay, that's a strong bull case. Dominance, secular growth, great financials, and increasing resilience. Now, for balance, what are the main concerns, the core of the bear case? What are the risks that investors should be most mindful of?
The primary risks and concerns, the bear case points, really center on those geopolitical tensions and the current valuation. Concern one, geopolitical overhang. The company's significant revenue exposure to China, that 30% figure, represents its single greatest vulnerability right now. A further tightening of U.S. export controls could materially and abruptly impact the company's growth trajectory and financial results. It's a major uncertainty. Concern two, peak cycle valuation. The stock is currently trading at valuation multiples that are significantly above its long-term historical averages. This suggests the market has already priced in a substantial amount of future growth and operational success. If the company fails to meet these high expectations, or if the semiconductor industry enters a sharper cyclical downturn than anticipated, the stock could be vulnerable to significant multiple contraction. It's priced for near perfection.
High expectations baked in.
Exactly. And concern three, macroeconomic sensitivity. As a provider of high-cost capital equipment, KLA is inherently sensitive to the global macroeconomic environment. A broad economic recession would likely lead its customers, the chipmakers, to curtail their capital spending plans, which would directly impact KLA's order book and revenue, regardless of long-term trends.
Okay, so China risk, high valuation, and macro sensitivity are the key worries. What should investors or anyone following KLA monitor going forward? What are the key catalysts or inflection points that could really move the needle, positively or negatively?
Yeah, there are definitely things to watch. Positive catalysts could include announcements of new large-scale fab construction projects, particularly those funded by CHIPS Act incentives in the U.S. or similar programs elsewhere. That means more potential orders. The successful launch and critically strong customer adoption of KLA's next-generation inspection and metrology tools designed for sub-3 nm per process nodes, showing they're keeping that tech lead, and evidence of faster-than-anticipated growth in those key advanced packaging and services segments validating the growth narrative.
And on the negative side, what are the potential warning signs?
Negative inflection points or warning signs to watch for would be any significant negative development in U.S.-China trade policy or an expansion of export controls targeting semiconductor equipment. That's number one. Clear signs of a cyclical peak in the semiconductor industry, things like rapidly falling memory prices, rising chip inventories across the board, or falling fab utilization rates. And of course, announcements of major capital expenditure cuts by key customers like TSMC, Samsung, or Intel. If they pull back spending, KLA feels it directly.
Okay, those are great points to track. Finally, for our listener who wants to keep an eye on KLA's health and trajectory themselves, maybe looking at their quarterly reports, what are the vital signs, the key performance indicators or KPIs they should be tracking?
To effectively track KLA's performance and the health of its business, I'd advise monitoring the following KPIs closely. First, the book-to-bill ratio. This is a critical leading indicator of future revenue trends in the equipment industry. A ratio above 1 means orders are coming in faster than they're being shipped, suggesting future growth. Below 1 suggests the opposite.
Book-to-bill. Got it.
Second, segment revenue growth. Pay close attention to the growth rates specifically for the services segment and the specialty semiconductor process segment, which includes advanced packaging. These are key to the company's strategic diversification and growth narrative. Are they delivering there? Third, geographic revenue distribution. Keep tracking that percentage of revenue derived from China specifically to continuously assess the company's exposure to geopolitical risk. Is it going up, down, staying flat? Fourth, profitability margins. Keep an eye on gross and operating margins. Are they maintaining their industry-leading pricing power and cost discipline even as they grow? Or are margins eroding? And finally, free cash flow and FCF conversion. Monitor the quality of earnings and the company's ability to generate cash and sustain that robust capital return program. Are they still the cash machine they've been? Tracking these metrics regularly will give you a pretty clear picture of KLA's ongoing operational health and financial trajectory.
Excellent. That's a great checklist. Well, we've gone on a true deep dive into KLA Corporation today. We've discovered a company that, while definitely not a household name, is truly a fundamental enabler of the entire digital world we inhabit. We've explored its unique toll booth business model, its commanding market share in the critical field of process control, its powerful and resilient financial profile, and the complex interplay of those long-term secular growth drivers and the acute geopolitical risks it navigates every single day.
Yeah, KLA's story is really one of foundational, almost invisible technology meeting this relentless demand for ever smaller, more powerful chips. It's about how absolutely critical precision and control are when you're working at the atomic scale. And it shows how a company can build an immense, durable, competitive moat by becoming truly indispensable, essentially ensuring the very future of technological advancement can continue.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? Well, next time you hold your smartphone, or use an AI system, or even drive a modern car, maybe take a second to consider the invisible eyes and brains, the KLA tools that made those incredibly complex chips possible. This deep dive into KLA reminds us that the future of technology isn't just about what we build, but about how precisely we can build it. And maybe more importantly today, what happens when that precision itself becomes a geopolitical flashpoint? It leaves me wondering, what other essential picks and shovels companies might be out there, quietly shaping our world, that we haven't even considered yet?